the Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
That's right, it's the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, back for another week. You didn't ask for it, but we're doing it anyway. My name's Rudy Etzel. I'm your host. I'm joined by George Porter over there on the buttons. How are you, mate?
Weren't we getting so many tweets and saying, when's the next one? Jeez, and we only did it last Thursday, and now it's a backup on Monday, so...
The demand was off the charts.
We're listening to everybody.
Yeah, no, it is well received. I'm just... taking the piss out of us, just a touch, we're still Triple M, lads. We're still Triple M. The other voice you can hear is the great Ethan Meldrum, the stats man himself. How are you, Spreadsheets?
Been better, I'll be honest.
Been better? We'll get to Melbourne. We will get to Melbourne, but we're going to kick off.
How many tips did you get?
We're going to kick off with our...
I got five.
Five, Rudy?
I'm flat about.
Six myself.
Yeah. I'll take seven.
About you, Ports?
Seven.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. So I wondered why you asked us about tips, because you wanted to show off your...
I'd like to start off
just because you got more than we did.
If we're going to be recording this each week, maybe we need to show that we've got a little bit of legitimacy behind us and can actually pick a winner.
Did you tip Essendon on Friday night?
I did not tip Essendon. That was one of the ones I got wrong.
No. Yeah. Which one was the other one you got wrong?
I thought maybe North might be able to beat the Dogs.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
I was at that game for Triple M Footy on Saturday night. The last game I'll be out for some time, I think. And the Dogs really, really showed North up. I don't understand. Why did North pick Ben Cunnington?
Yeah,
I couldn't figure it out. He looked proppy from the start. Then they sat him in the forward line for most of the time. And then they just took him off in the second half when it was clear they were going to lose.
There was a lot of chat around. Like, there was a vision of him just sitting on the bench in the third term. He looked like a 45-year-old Rezzy's footballer in like the Northern Footy League or something like that. Just looked...
He did. Absolutely.
I will reiterate, and I'll say this for as long as his back issue persists, it's the hair. It's the weight of the hair. There is too much hair on the top of his bonce, and it's weighing him down and stuffing up his back.
Yeah.
All right. We know he's not a huge social media guy, so fair chance he won't listen to this podcast, which is lucky for you, Ethan. Let's move on to...
Ethan Meldrum, if you are listening.
That's our legend of the week. You'll wrap a fishing line
around my throat.
Yeah.
Come on, Ethan. Yeah. Get through it. I need to get onto the legend of the week. I'm itching to talk about him. It's Gary Ablett. It had to be this week. His 350th game. That goal, when he took that mark, you could see when Tom Hawkins took that mark and was looking for, you could see he was looking for Gary Ablett. Like, Ablett's run past him and he wanted to give him the hands. And then he's sort of saying to him, come, I'll give you the ball. And then when he marked it and had that set shot from 55, never for a fraction of a second was that going anywhere but straight through the sticks on the falls.
Mm. The true legend of the week, if we can go further than Gary Ablett, is Gary Ablett's right hamstring for not straining during that 52-meter drop punt.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that as well. He also... He went and got to Matty Rao. So we've obviously been massive Matty Rao fans here. He dislocated his shoulder in the first quarter, and he went and got to Matty Rao after the game. He and Joel Selwood, whose 300th game it was, and they got to him and they put their arms around him. And Ablett said he would mentor Matty Rao going forward, which is really classy.
Got a bit of deja vu about that shoulder injury for the Suns, doesn't it, with Gaz, which was brought up over the weekend. Wow. So hopefully Matty Rao getting injured isn't going to derail the Suns as it did when Gaz went out in about 2014 maybe.
2014, yeah.
2014 it was, yeah.
And that was when Ablett was playing his best football as well.
Mm.
By a mile.
He finished second or third in the Brownlow, missing eight games that year,
I
remember.
Nuts.
Yeah, it was just after halfway.
But then he also announced the very sad news of his son Levi's degenerative condition the next day on Instagram, and that's just gutting for everyone involved, really. I felt awful for Gaz hearing that news. It must be it's such a tough thing to deal with at any time, but then to have that diagnosis, and then Ablett is like going into the hub with Geelong in he's first going to Sydney, then to Perth. Just awful news, really.
Yeah, hearts have to go to Gary and Jordan, don't they? Like, you hear the occasional bit of crap about like players, should be going to the hubs, because football's their career, and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes with these sort of players. Like if that was the first time we ever heard of what was happening with Gary, Jordan, and Levi, and hearts have to go out to them, don't they?
Speaking of players going to hubs and not going to hubs, Shane Edwards and Bashir Hooley aren't going to Richmond's hub. They both have children on the way. There's a little bit of like back and forth about whether that's good or bad enough, and I'm not mad about it. No, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's completely reasonable to want to stay home with your family in these times particularly.
Yeah, well, Richmond again has been like on the forefront with this over the last few years, and that there are things bigger than football, and like as far as newborn children go, like that's first and foremost for, you know, Bashar and Dimmer and all those sort of guys. So good on them, and you know, there'll probably be more to come, I would imagine. Possibly.
Yeah, like, you'd think so.
I mean, there's what?
You'd think so. We'll find out. I think all teams pretty much have already gone or will have to leave today.
I think they'll be out today, won't they now?
Yeah.
We saw Collingwood and Hawthorne go up yesterday, and the Tigers and the Dogs maybe, yeah, I think I saw, all on the flights out. Yeah. So if they're not out already, then it'll be, well, obviously before tomorrow night. So I think that's enough time for the clubs to prepare anyway, and we've already seen that. We were actually talking about it last week, how many people were involved in relocating out of the hotspot suburbs in Melbourne, which affected 7 clubs. Well, they're all out now, so
Yeah, they're all gone.
Big changes.
Very big changes. Speaking of big changes, the holding the ball interpretation was changed this week at Alistair Clarkson's behest.
Yep.
And then pretty much straight away, it was his team that suffered the most. They copped 10 holding the ball frees against to GWS's 1.
Do you reckon it's the umpires just sitting back going, do you know what? Let's bloody give it. He can't tell us we don't tell him how to do his job.
It's a classic monkey's paw sort of wish from Alistair Clarkson. Like, we'll fix the hole in the ball free kicks, but you'll cop all of them.
Yeah, well, he does. The Hawthorn midfield is not exactly lightning quick, is it? So there were always going to be a big chance to be copping a lot of these holding the balls. What did you make of it in general? Like some of it looked baffling to me. Some of it looked like speeding the game up for the sake of speeding the game up, and then other times I was happy with it because I'm tend towards the Clarko, I think, where I think a few of them, you know, the holding the ball has been lost a little bit over time. What do you think, George?
Yeah, well, I've always thought that it all comes under the holding the ball banner, but I think incorrect disposal has been one that's obviously been forgotten about recently. And I heard Scott Pendlebury say recently that if you tackle someone and you dispossess the ball and they don't handball it or kick it and they've had a chance, like if the ball just drops out, they're not paying that enough, which I think is maybe the one that Clarko was edging toward. I didn't see too much of the Hawthorn game last night. I think it would be better if they do pay more of it. The one that I really dislike, though, is not making an attempt, or you're just lying on the ground with 3 blokes on top of you and you've got to pretend like you're trying to handball it out. Let's just get real about that. If you've got 3 blokes on you and one of them's Shane Mumford, I mean, give us a break.
Well, there were two in the Richmond-Melbourne game yesterday. The Petraka one, obviously, where the ball was pinned to him and like he was like sort of half trying to handball and he got pinged for it. Like there's not really anything you can do about it. And then like about 5 minutes after that, there was one, I can't remember the Richmond player, but Max Gorn was sitting on top of him and the footy underneath him. Like if you got a bloke who's 7'13" sitting on top of him, the footy's not going anywhere.
No.
You can't pay holding the ball for that.
That's right. Yeah, well,
is Clarko sitting at home or on the plane or wherever he might be at the moment going, all right, now what rule can I use to benefit us next time?
So, I've obviously got it wrong this way.
Scheming against the AFL and the umpire department.
That's right. Speaking of baffling things, Ethan, I'll give you a bit of time here. Where are Melbourne at? What are they doing? What's happening?
You can have a bit of clear air. You can just vent.
Where are they? Yeah. What, 17th?
That's right. I'm going to go get a coffee. Yeah, the 17th again.
George, just leave the studio and Rudy, get away from the mic.
You're 17, yeah, so you're equal with Frio.
Yeah, and
look, and your percentage is worse.
What's going on?
Look, none of it's surprising. That's probably the worst thing about it. RE Melbourne, I tweeted a couple of hours ago. Like, they've had 20 losses in the last 3 years, where they've had more inside 50s than the opposition. Like they've had the same sort of game plan for 3 years, and it worked wonders in 2018, where it's just, you know, blokes flooding the contest left, right and centre, you know, your Jack Vineys and your Olivers just swarming contested ball, and they win it every single week. But beyond that, and I've been sort of umming and ahhing about what the result of this is or what's causing this, like whether it's personnel or...
So it's a forward line. It's obviously a forward line retention thing. So you're getting the ball in and it's just coming straight back out with you guys scoring.
Yeah, and last...
Well, you're not putting the goals through.
No, and last year it was shocking because those entries were just, you know, they get swallowed up and Melbourne just legitimately weren't fit enough to sort of defend it and they just get scored against immediately like that. Like, I conceded 20 goals to a pretty mediocre Essendon side at one point. Yeah, there was a lot of turnovers yesterday. Just once they get the ball on the outside, there doesn't seem to be any real methodology behind what they do. There's no plan of attack. There's no shifting lanes. There's no real sort of creativity, and there's no real skilled players to sort of make up for that. Like most sides have got, like, you know,
they lack imagination and fantasy.
Yeah,
to steal a quote from Ed Zelich.
And like not to say that Melbourne need like a Dustin Martin or a Bontempelli who can just, you know, hit up a 45-metre kick just at the drop of a hat. Or Josh Kelly.
Only two of those exist, really.
Only two of those exist, and you can't just exactly ask for one. But, like,
Melbourne
don't have that sort of player, nor do they have the sort of game plan that allows those players who aren't as good to sort of hit those sort of kicks anyway. And particularly because there's no tall targets in the forward line.
Well, I was going to say that. So you've got Tom McDonald, right?
Yeah.
Playing forward. And you've got...
Who's kicked about... I think he kicked, 20 goals last year after a 50-goal season?
After a 50-goal season.
And
do you wonder if, looking back, if getting rid of Jesse Hogan was the right idea?
Well, he wanted to go.
Yeah, I don't think they had much choice in that.
You don't reckon?
I think it's more an unfortunate loss than a mistake by them letting him go. I don't think he could have possibly... He had to go for so many reasons that weren't footy related.
Something I wouldn't be averse to, and it's following on from Jesse Hogan, funnily enough, is Stephen May started his career as a forward. He's 100 kilos. He's 6'4", 6'5". Melbourne's fine in terms of tall defenders. They've got Oscar McDonald, Jake Lever, Joel Smith, these sort of guys. Throw him forward, at least because there's no sort of spark or creativity going forward. At least you've got someone to just torpor to and just, you know, go long down the line, because at the moment Melbourne don't have that player.
Do you know what I like? We spoke about how the game has moved on and the state of the game and how we'll never go back to the early 2000s or 90s, whatever. Mm. Ethan has just suggested for Melbourne, just torp it in there. Get it in there. That's the game plan for the Demons for the next however long.
I think that's the problem, is that Clayton Oliver hasn't been kicking enough torps. Moving on from one basket case to another, what is going on in the Adelaide department?
The Adelaide Crows.
At least Melbourne's better than someone.
Adelaide Crows. Adelaide. With Adelaide, it's impossible to see where their next win comes from at the moment. Like, they played probably the second, you know, most, maybe third worst team in the comp, Fremantle, yesterday. And, I mean, they got back into the game briefly, but that spent all their tickets getting there. And they just look... Still got quite a lot of good players. Like, they've still got Rory Sloane playing for them. They've still got Tex Walker playing for them.
Oh, the Texans looking in.
The Crouch brothers.
I enjoy watching Tex play. And if he takes a grab on 50 and you'll back him in to kick the goal, but he doesn't really look like he's... I don't know who else I've got. I don't know if he's the right... Yeah,
he doesn't... Is he finishing anything.
There's no one else.
I'm not sure if he's finishing the year. Is he Texan? And he just kind of... Give someone a bit younger a crack. I don't know who else I've got.
You're retiring Tex Walker at the age of 30, eh?
Oh, did he have a good year last year? I don't know. It's just...
I'd probably keep him around. He would be good for development.
I'd have to state that. But they're making a lot of skill errors coming out the back half, and there was only a couple of times... Sorry, Rids. You know, they only chose to... this is one game that I did watch. They only chose to look inside a couple of times. And when they did, they got Brody Smith running forward and through and kicking long to contests. They only did that a couple of times. There were skill errors coming out of the back 50. They can't stick their tackles. They just look a little bit lost at sea, don't they?
Tell you what, boys, I just opened the AFL Live app. And at the bottom, you know, like, to look at the ladder, and there's a glitch on it that has no team coming up in 18th. It looks like they've relegated. It looks like they've relegated Adelaide.
Sandful,
which, you know,
yeah,
which possibly a mercy sort of situation at the moment.
Give Port Melbourne a go, or you know, Subiaco, or
You bring up another central team.
The Crows have the Eagles this week, who looked much better against the Swans, and I think we've all been kind of waiting for the Eagles to turn out a good game because we know they're not as bad as what they've probably shown in the last month.
Eagles will just run through it, right?
And then they've got the Saints, who played a great game of footy on the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. The Saints look like a genuine finals team at the moment.
The Saints look the most potent team in the competition at the moment. They will put on 20 goals against Adelaide.
Yeah,
like Adelaide just get broken down so easily. It's not really.
Think of Bradley Hill just steaming through that. You know, like just speeding through that defense, that midfield, and
just Marshall to Jackson Hill, who King. Just like fly kicks Matt Crouch and kicks it inside 50 on top of Max King.
it's gonna get ugly for him. I think this is the worst Adelaide I've ever been in my life. I can't remember them. They've existed for as long as I've been alive. So there you go. This is as bad as they've ever been.
I think there's
a whole lot more pain to come.
Yeah, I think it's a learning year for them in terms of like getting on the same page as, you know, Matty Nix and resetting and figuring out what he wants them to do and what he wants the players to do and who is right to take them forward. Like you said, he's happy to drop senior players and play youth. That's where Adelaide are at. They're not interested in winning games. They'll finish 18th and like hopefully get themselves better for it.
They can have every item in the cutlery drawer as far as I'm concerned. They can have the wooden spoon. They can have the Barbie mate. They can have the tongs. They can have the whole lot. It's glorious.
Yeah. George is an Adelaide fan. George is from South Australia. Not an Adelaide fan, as you probably clocked.
There's supporting South Australian on the podcast.
Let's talk about the real tragedy of the weekend, though, and that is Matty Rowe's shoulder. He's put it out. They're deciding what to do today. I reckon his season's probably over. And even if it's not, even if he could come back, I don't see why they would bring him back. Just put him in cotton wool. The real question is, though, for me, is who wins the Rising Star now that Matty Rowell's out? Because he would have been the shortest price ever, and now it's an open field, really.
You'd hate to be a betting agency who's already paid out.
There's one.
Yeah, well, there's at least one I can think of. But
it's added to Mike. Yeah.
So well, just before you come out with other people, so or with other options to win it, he's played four games really because he did it in he did the shoulder in the first quarter. Does he have enough runs on the board, or is the Rising Star something that you need to put in a whole season's worth of effort and output to vote on it?
He can't win off four games.
Yeah, I think it's a sustained.
If he's clearly better than any other Rising Star nominee this year,
and he will be,
and he is.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he'll be available next year, and he'll be clearly better than every other Rising Star nominee next year.
Yeah, so if he's still under a certain age and he's played under, I believe, 10 games in the previous year, you can be nominated again.
It's 10 or less, yeah.
That's right. So it's under 21. And under 10 games, you can be nominated. So he'll just go and win it next year.
Okay. Get your bets in now.
Or he can that he can become the first two-time Rising Star winner.
Two-time Rising Star.
You're going to allow that? Like
yeah, is
that
even possible? I'd
two-time Rising Star winner. He'll win a Brownlow next year, all Australian. You'll do everything. But who do you reckon is in the frame? Like Tom Green for GWS looks good. Max King looks incredibly ominous for me. He looks serious.
If it's not Rowell, it's King at this stage, I would say.
For sure.
He's not doing it every single contest. Obviously, he's not at that sort of level yet. But like just the ones he does fly for, he's still getting. And you know, he's kicking one or two goals a game. He's not having quiet ones. He's been pretty consistent at a team that's going to, like, they're on track to finish at least top six in the Saints.
Yeah. They call him Winks around the club at St Kilda because he looks like he looks so good out on the track, they reckon. he's a beautiful player, isn't he?
He's a real thoroughbred.
Dermot Brereton did some work with him last year and he reckons he's never seen a bloke so good at taking a mark, like marking the ball at its highest point. And when you're 202 centimetres, that highest point is really freaking high.
Yeah, add another 6 inches to that.
It is
when you're jumping.
Yeah, and he was
minimum.
Yeah. He was playing on Jacob Wiedering the other night, who's probably the all Australian fullback. And there was a couple of times where Wiedering just couldn't get anywhere near him. He's just simply impossible to defend. So yeah, I think he'll kick Here's a chance to kick like 700-800 goals, I reckon, Max King.
Oof, that's a big call.
Timestamp.
It is a big call. Write it down.
Write it down.
I reckon
Max
King reckon
to kick
huge...
800 goals, Taylor Walker finished. Ethan, kick more torps.
Bring it back to
torps. Yeah,
that's what you get first. Here on this podcast. You get breaking news and you get big predictions. And
yeah. Well, I think he's a real chance to do it because there'll be periods of time where he's just completely unplayable for defenders. Really.
It's like that scene in The Simpsons with the Globetrotters. Like, I think it was. I think it was a Globetrotter.
He's spinning the ball on his face. He's using a ladder. Yeah. With that out of the way, I want to talk about the hubs coming up. We know that all the Victorian clubs have been moved out now. We just wanted to touch on who's in the best nick and who's in the worst nick of clubs heading into these hubs. We wanted to kick off with the worst nick, and it's hard to go past Richmond, isn't it, guys?
It's a bit of a combination for Richmond. Like, they're kind of playing okay-ish footy. They've only just had their first win since the I think it was their first win since the restart. They obviously had the draw. And so just combining that with Cochin, Prestia, Lynch, Edwards, Hooley, Nankervis all not going to the hub for whatever reason.
Mm.
I know Hooley's had a baby and Shane Edwards? Has he had a...
He's also having a baby.
He's also having a baby. Sorry, we said that earlier.
His wife is due in August.
Right. So it's just, you know, everything combining, they haven't had the greatest start to the year. I think Richmond probably, I mean, you could argue that there's a few other clubs that aren't great going into a hub, but injuries, personal unavailability, and then leaving Melbourne for however long, it doesn't look like Richmond are in a great spot.
Yep.
However, being the professional club that they are, you can kind of see them riding this out and maybe playing some decent footy, but at the moment... I would have to say maybe Richmond, yeah.
Yeah, given their losses, they'd certainly be one of the top ones. Like, I suppose the one shining light for them is that they've been so system-based for the last 3 years in terms of, like, it's one up, one down. So Soldo comes in for Nate Hervis and just does almost what Nate had been doing for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you get your Shy Boltons come back and stuff like that. So, like, the players that come in are still pretty good and know exactly what to do.
They'd love Dan Butler to be able to bring in this year, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would.
Oof. They would, yeah. Yeah. That's what happens when you're up for so long and you bring in a guy like Tommy Lynch. You've got to trade away a bit of depth, and that's sort of how it is.
Yeah.
I think Richmond are in a bit of strife. I agree with you guys. I think it's not it's a bit of a worry for them that they don't have wins banked already before this, and now they're missing a large chunk of their players. I'm a bit worried for them, but I was a bit worried for them last year, and they won the flag by 15 goals. So
yeah,
you know, yeah.
We won't timestamp this one to revisit when they win the flag.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Stricken from the record.
Yeah.
As for clubs that are in good nick heading into the into the hub.
Yep.
What do you reckon?
I'm all in on the Lions at the moment. They've not travelled yet. There are clubs going up to Brisbane, so they're going to be playing them again anyway. They're not travelling. Any other year, they're home away, home away, home away.
Mm.
They've been up, home, comfortable, no lockdowns there, really. They're back into regular life. They're playing good footy. They're sitting equal top with Port. They've only had the one loss.
Yep.
Playing good footy. Everything just falls into the basket for Brisbane at the moment. So I think they're looking really good heading into hub life.
Yeah, they're going to be my pick as well. Just like, they're playing the best footy of anyone, and they've got as far as they're concerned, probably the least work to do in terms of what these hubs mean for them. So, yeah, I mean...
They also, like, the way they torched Port, who had looked the best team in the comp, up to then, the way they torched Port Adelaide on Saturday was unbelievably impressive.
Yeah,
really, they deserve to be premiership favourites at this point.
Also, by the way, I've seen a few of all the AFL pages that I seem to follow on Facebook, and all the Guernsey merging that they do with players and people who are maybe out of contract.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Charlie Cameron in a Carlton Guernsey. Brisbane, if you're listening, you need to pay Charlie Cameron whatever he's asking, because you can't lose him. He's a up forward. He's kicking you 3-4 goals a game. He's marketable. You can pay him what he wants.
I reckon that might just be the agent putting a bit of pressure on to get him paid.
Yeah,
to be honest, I tell you what, guys. Like, in amongst all this chat, I've just looked at the ladder, and it's shocked me that Geelong are third.
Collingwood dropped to 10.
Geelong haven't felt at all impressive this year, and somehow they're third with a percentage of 120, and that's genuinely surprising to me. They do this every single year where they never look really good, but just somehow just end up in the top four conversation, and then the top four itself. It's they're quite a remarkable footy team.
They are primed to crash out in a prelim again.
Oh mate, yeah, 100%. Possibly even straight sets.
Possibly.
We'll see if they can come back to Victoria though. Like maybe this is the year they finally play a final at GMHBA. George, are you worried for the Pies? They're 10th. They have a percentage of 133.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Like we didn't deserve to win against Essendon after the first 5 minutes. I thought, geez, we're on here. And we looked great. Steve-O kicked the first two goals. And then Dacos kicked the third. I was like, all right, we're on here. That was halfway through the first quarter. Didn't get another look in for the rest of the night. The Bombers were way better. The pressure was all there. Degoe not in, he hasn't been playing that great, but he's still so important for setup. And if you're losing Jordan Degoe and you bring in someone like, well, I imagine Josh Thomas might come back in, then it's not an immediate like-for-like. Jeremy Howe's a huge loss, still side bottom, obviously, we spoke about last week. So not ideal, but Collingwood, as much as people joke about, they do travel quite well, and it could be something that kind of really galvanises and sticks together. I don't know if I'd like... Darcy Cameron for Mason Cox maybe could be something that they look at, although it was pissing down at the G the other night, so it's probably not the most ideal situation for Mason Cox to play in.
Yeah, Mason Cox is a pretty big problem.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering, and I'll try and get this brief because we're about to wrap up, but the VFL game or the practice match that happens before an AFL game now, that was at 3 o'clock on Friday arvo. I'm just wondering whether or not the emergencies were carried over or not, and maybe if we looked at the weather just before bounce, maybe you'd make a change for like your Josh Thomas or your small forward. But they've already played, so unless you're getting Tony Armstrong to come in and play two games of footy again.
Two games in a day.
Yeah, two game Tony.
Just bring him straight down from the ABC commentary box.
Just feed him some backers halfway through.
Get him a chicken in him. Can we draw a line through a few teams for finals now? Obviously, Adelaide are one, Freo are another one for me. Sorry to say it, Heater, but I think Melbourne are a third.
No. What?
You're kidding. What do you reckon? What do you reckon, guys? Anyone else we can
Adelaide, Melbourne, Freo,
get out the Sharpie,
Sydney,
and say
I'd lean towards Sydney and Carlton.
Yeah, I'd reckon I'd almost add North to that group as well. Maybe not can't make finals, but won't make finals. They've got sort of the tools, but I don't trust them to put it together. They also have such a fragile lineup, really. Like they've got like they're so reliant on pieces being fit into the puzzle. So they're the ones I'm really sort of most looking at, I reckon. And then maybe Carlton as well. Richmond should make the final still, and I don't think Gold Coast will either. Unfortunately for them, I think they'll sort of come up short. Is that enough from us? Do we have something that to look forward to this weekend, boys?
I'm looking forward really to if I have to pick a game Thursday night, Geelong Brisbane.
That was the one I was going to bring up as well.
That's fair.
Aside from being a Geelong fan, they also had that absolute corker at the Gabba last year. If you remember, where Lincoln McCarthy took that incredible skyscraping hangar and then kicked the winner. So a resumption of hostilities there should be good.
Yeah, I agree.
How about Melbourne Gold Coast, Tito? You looking forward to that? Or
I have nothing to look forward to.
No.
You look forward to
lockdown. I think look forward to lockdown.
Life is futile and footy is meaningless.
Yeah.
And I think Melbourne are shit.
I think that's probably about enough from us here at the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. It's worth noting that this weekend, the Saturday rub starts at 11 because we've got a 12:35 game between Freo and St Kilda at Metricon. So they'll be bringing all the rest previews and stuff before that. Dead Set Legends from 9 to 11 in Melbourne. That is enough from us. Keep tuned into all the Triple M Footy social accounts at Triple M Footy across everywhere, and enjoy your weekend in footy.